Some helpful conversations from the day's talk with Luang Pa Bramot.
I'm able to see what comes up more and more, but I often don't recognize the phenomena quickly enough and get lost in what arises.
Good. We can't be knowing all the time. Sometimes we are knowing things clearly and quickly, and sometimes we get caught in thinking, seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and touching. Just keep knowing more and more often.
I'm feeling I'm getting better, noticing more defilements, though I'm still lost in thought for long periods.
What is the mind like right now?
There is nervousness.
Are you suppressing it?
I'm not sure.
Can you see the mind is stiff and dull? You are suppressing the nervousness, forcing the mind as still as you can because you are afraid that it will not behave. This is not what we are to do. We are to know the body as it is, and know the mind as it is, and not to suppress or control anything.
Am I practicing correctly?
Are you seeing the defilements arising? Which one arises most often? Anger, greed, or delusion?
I am not so sure. Mostly, my mind is just motionless, and then worries.
Know when the mind worries. The mind is never motionless unless we force it to be so by fixation on a meditation object. Just know what arises as it really is. Like right now, the mind went off thinking. Can you see this? If you can't see this, you are better off watching the body than the mind. Watch the body sitting, standing, walking, and lying down.
I think I must be over-focusing. Every time I start walking meditation, my neck hurts so much.
You are surely over-focusing. When you decide to do the meditation, you stiffen up, create stress, and then pressure enters the head and neck. Just walk casually, enjoyably. Watch the body walk. When you are uncomfortable, know it. When the mind goes off to think, know that too.
I've been practicing about a year now. I think mindfulness is arising quite often. I can see anger, greed, jealousy, and I can see the mind getting lost. I can see all these things arise and fall again and again. The other day, I saw anger arise and then fall immediately. Then the mind went to the ears to hear. I knew it was the wind, and then anger arose again. This was all in succession.
Your practice is good. You are starting to see things just as they are.
I'm starting to feel like the world is really boring.
This is how we are supposed to feel when the mind is waking up to the truth. Your practice is improving. There is a space between you and the world now. However, the boredom is still a little too harsh. It is not an impartiality to what arises.
I only used to get bored with unhappy states, but now I'm bored with happy ones too.
You are getting smarter. Normally we think the world is an amazing place, a place to be happy. Now you are seeing that happiness is boring. Can you feel that happiness is merely a face of suffering?
Yes, I can.
You are doing well in your practice. Keep at it, but be patient.
I think when I watch what arises, I slip into the phenomena and get absorbed in them.
We get absorbed in them because we are trying too hard to see them. Just know what arises and then be done with it. Then know the next thing and then be done with that too.
I am also not so good at samatha. When the mind starts to settle down, it wanders off.
Then there's no need to do samatha. You are a thinker anyway, so you should watch the mind. Keep watching and knowing, and it will get peaceful on its own. If the mind wanders, just know it has done so. Do your best to let mental states arise, and know so afterward. You tend to think too quickly when something arises that it will soon drop off, instead of really knowing what is there. You're letting intellect lead you too much. We don't get results that way.
I do walking meditation every day for 15 minutes. I'm happier than before and less annoyed with myself. However, I noticed that lately I can walk and be completely unaware for long periods, totally lost in thought.
Practice as much as possible in your daily life as well. Sometimes when we set aside time to meditate, we just try to get through the allotted period and are happy when it is over. We aren't as aware of the phenomena that arise as we are of the time. If walking isn't working, then do some sitting meditation too, or do some chanting and notice when the mind goes off. If we are able to notice the mind float off into thought often, we become much more aware and get lost much less.
My practice has improved, and I notice quite often when the mind is going off into thought. My mind is far more stable because of this, and I'm able to see many more mental phenomena as well. However, I find that it is hard to stay aware when I'm talking and socializing. Is it okay if we get lost in that and just be aware a little here and there?
Yes, that's fine. But if it is not necessary to speak, we really shouldn't. The Buddha taught that those in the earlier stages of practice should not socialize too much. If we do, we are bound to talk, and this will lead to a lot of mindless and pointless chatter. It fills the mind with thoughts. However, we live in this world where talking is unavoidable, so we should talk and just be watching and knowing on and off while we communicate.
Sometimes, when I notice the mind immediately as it is about to get lost in thought, I feel so happy that a smile appears on my face.
Just be careful that you don't force the practice. The mind will feel tight and rigid. You are doing much better. Mindfulness has arisen. See, you used to have a restless mind, thinking incessantly. I asked you to watch the mind go off over and over again, and you weren't stubborn about it. You practiced, and now you are much more aware and much happier.
My mind is much better behaved now, and I'm wondering if I'm holding my attention on the breath too much because I go into a vast quiet space and my body feels light.
You are doing samatha. These are effects of over-focusing. The mind is moving down into the object of meditation and getting absorbed there. The body and mind will be light. When there is lightness, know it. When there is heaviness, know it. Watch from within. But when you do, don't try to pull the mind out of the object and bring it back in. Let the mind come in by itself. Keep at it. Keep watching the body.
I spent some time in a forest monastery recently. When I was doing walking meditation, I could see a mind arise and then fall away. Then another mind arose and fell away, then a space. Then I had a moment of realizing that this was the way it really worked. After this period of arising and falling of mind, I could feel that the awareness was so clear. Then it was cloudy and then clear again.
We should be aware of each phenomenon that arises in a clear but relaxed way. It shouldn't be excessively clear. Just a normal amount of clearness is enough.
Then I could notice the mind going to think, and it dropped off. Then an unimaginable brightness came over my eyes. It was so bright that I was shaking. Then it was like my mind exploded, and there was no separation between mind and anything else. Me and the environment were one. When it ended and everything went back to normal, I started to notice that I was practicing with intention. I noticed that there was intention mixed into my practice all along. Sometimes I'm practicing very intentionally, sometimes less, but there was always intending. I could see the heat that this created, and I didn't want to intend any more. Then I wasn't sure how to practice any more without intending. I was confused for quite a while.
You need to keep knowing. See that confusion arose.
Eventually, I just gave up, and when I did, the mind became one-pointed. It smiled and saw a path. It saw that we don't practice for any selfish reason, for ourselves. We practice and the mind does its own thing. There is no need to interfere. As you have said before, like a river, the mind will naturally flow towards the ocean. Mindfulness, after that, continued to be able to notice the heat and movement from intending in the practice, but I still couldn't stop intending.
When I walk, I can see that the previous moment and then next moment do not exist, and the place that I am at is all there is. The past moment has dropped away, and there is not yet a next one. This type of experience has continued in daily life. For example, when I look over at my spouse, for the first moment I see her, it is like I'm looking at a stranger. Then memory arises and knows the face.
Yes. When we look at something, there is no memory at first. Then the interpretation of who or what it is comes later. Did you notice the mind fabricate after that? Like believing she's pretty or ugly?
Not like that, but fabrication arises and knows my relationship with her.
Keep practicing. It is still not enough. Can you notice there is still a feeling of self? Of you?
Yes, I can. I feel I'm being deceived by it.
Good. Know it. If we follow it, we will go the wrong way. Just know it. Can you see it has arisen just now?
Yes.
That's fantastic. There are still defilements, and you are still seeing them. I thought after your long speech, you were going to say that you've seen the true Dhamma, seen the noble path. You still haven't.
Sometimes the feeling of self arises, and mindfulness sees it, and it drops off quickly. Sometimes it goes unnoticed and lasts a very long time.
You are a great meditator. Keep at it. Be careful, as you are still controlling, still holding to phenomena a bit too much. And keep watching the self coming up and falling off.
I have been practicing meditation for about 2 years now and haven't spoken to you in about 10 months. Is there anything that needs adjusting in my meditations?
There is nothing much to adjust, except you need to practice more often. Practice all the time throughout your day in a relaxed way. Right now, you are suppressing. Let the mind do what it does instead, and watch playfully. Your practice is much better than before, and you get very calm at times, but when you do, you are happy or satisfied with the calmness, and so you get stuck in it. Try to know when the mind is happy. Be careful of getting stuck in happiness, as you will not be able to move forward.
I can see that I'm nervous, scared, and deluded right now. I am able to see phenomena after they arise, and I know that I am neutral towards many of them. I'm having trouble noticing boredom with any efficiency or neutrality. Boredom seems to go unnoticed for a while. And then the practice deteriorates and the mind shifts around.
Boredom is taking over and manipulating the mind. Boredom is a defilement in the same group as anger, the dosa group. If we don't feel well or comfortable, dosa will arise. We don't have it when we are happy or comfortable. Just watch it work. The mind is not us. Whether it is happy or not, virtuous or not, or if there is dosa, it is its own business. There's no need to get involved. The body and mind do their own work. But when a defilement comes in and takes over the mind, just know it in time. Don't try to resist it. The way to battle defilements is to not resist them. They flow like water. If we make a dam, they will create pressure there. The water will have a lot of power. We should see them come and see them go. In your case, they're leaving too slowly for your liking, and you don't want them to arise at all.
Is there anything else I should do?
You're practicing correctly, but I think you should do more samatha, more calmness practice, because your watching is a little bit dry right now. You're therefore a little dry in your battle with the defilements.
When I watch the mind, I create a mental state and watch from there. Is this wrong?
It is utterly wrong. It is always wrong to create anything at all. We are to just know what is really there naturally.
But it is like a meditation object for me.
It is an attachment object for you. You are holding your mind there. Instead, just watch whatever comes up fresh out of the oven.
But when I create this object, I can see other phenomena arise with more clarity.
They are clear, but more so than is natural. You will see that your object is permanent and everything else is temporary. And this is not true.
It is very calm.
You are stuck in samatha. Even fixing attention on the mind is still fixing attention. If you are clinging to an empty and still state, your mind may be peaceful, but it is not a natural human mind, appropriate for understanding the truth. It is a higher state, but not one that sees wisdom or has overcome suffering. You will see permanence, not impermanence. Let the mind do what it does. Let it change according to its own causes, and don't be the least bit partial to any of the states. Whatever happens, happens. Just watch contentedly. You are holding the knower, making it still. Don't hold it.
I have been watching in daily life as much as possible, and can see that the mind is knowing sometimes, and is lost or overfocused at others. It's neutral sometimes and not at others. It is making progress sometimes and not at others. Sometimes it is lost in thinking for long periods. Sometimes a strange thing happens where things are flickering and glimmering. I know it's happening, but I don't know what it is.
No need to know what it is.
Then curiosity arises. And I know that too. I'm looking for some more advice from you.
Right now, can you see that the mind is not rooted in awareness, is not stable?
Yes, it's not rooted in the present.
It is really good that you can see that. You're practicing well. Keep at it.
Some helpful conversations with Luangpa Bramot from April 24th, 2009.
Mindfulness has been arising on its own. When I watch my arm moving, it disappears. The breath also disappears sometimes.
You are too attached to being still. Many meditators find a place of stillness and force themselves to stay there. They are afraid of being bad, of having defilements, of the mind wandering away. Let the mind wander off. It's okay. Just know that it has done so. Get lost in thinking and then know it, over and over again. This is a better practice than holding the mind still and not allowing it to move. What you are doing is samatha, holding the mind still. If you want to reach vipassana, you must see the three characteristics, that the mind is always changing, that no state persists, and that there is no controlling this. When the mind awakens and sees a phenomenon has arisen without interfering with it, the phenomenon will drop off. In the body and mind, we see things as they really are, and they will teach us, show us, the three characteristics. The mind will teach us Dhamma on its own. Don't try to force the mind to be still, or try to control anything.
Am I practicing correctly?
Make sure you are seeing that you are thinking, and not just knowing the content of your thoughts. Your mind just went off to think. Do you know that?
Yes, I know.
Good. That's how we practice. Let the mind go and know what it has done. It is inadvisable to just hold the mind still. If we do, we are involved in a fixation instead of meditation. Let the mind get lost and then know it. When we know what just happened, we will see that the mind is bright and fresh for a moment. Now you are curious. Can you see that?
I'm not sure if I am doing it right.
Just know that now you are feeling doubt. We practice watching all these phenomena to just see one thing, to see that whatever arises also falls of its own accord. When we see this clearly, we reach the first stage of enlightenment, stream entry. It's that simple. But usually when a mental state like doubt arises, we just keep thinking, entertaining our curiosity. We don't acknowledge it has arisen, and so we run around looking for a solution. If a teacher gives us an answer, we remember what he or she said and think that we now have knowledge. However, all we really have done is memorize something. It is not real knowledge. We don't really know. Real knowing happens when we see phenomena clearly in the present. that which arises also falls. When anger arises, usually we just look out at the person with whom we are angry, instead of acknowledging that we are angry. Our interest goes out to the one we are angry at. The angrier at someone we are, the more we think of that person. Have you noticed? We love anger and other defilements, like that of craving. Whatever we are angry at or crave is what we think about most. We are under the influence of the defilements instead of simply knowing that the mind has craving at that moment. Sometimes, when we are meditating, boredom arises. We get lazy and stop practicing. We don't notice that boredom has arisen. Because of a lapse in awareness, the defilement we call boredom took over, and therefore we become subject to its rule. Also, when confusion arises and we don't see it has arisen, the mind becomes blurred and we can drop out of our practice. Each defilement has the same function. Each makes us stop knowing or watching the body and mind. If we keep noticing what arises as much as possible, one day the defilements will not take us over anymore, and we will be free from their power. We must be determined in order to accomplish this. So when we see doubt or a curiosity has arisen in the mind, no need to be clever and find a solution. Just know the mind is curious. Then we will see that curiosity arises from its cause and falls away when the cause is gone. Don't just sit there thinking, looking for answers. Anger also arises out of thinking. Craving does as well. All these things bring on more thinking, and then the defilements can fully do their job, to deceive us. When there is mindfulness, the defilements don't have a place in which to work. When there is mindfulness, there is no defilement in that moment. When there is a defilement, there is no mindfulness.
My mind is all over the place. I also try to hold it still.
You are afraid of the mind thinking too much, and so you hold your focus instead of just knowing. You are wanting to get rid of this restless mind instead of just knowing it as it is. Just know the mind is restless, as the Buddha taught. In the Discourse on the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, we learn that we can know in two ways, with mindfulness and with wisdom. If we are practicing samatha, then we are only knowing with mindfulness. For example, when the mind holds on to the breath without going off track, we have mindfulness of the breath. The mind is focused on one object. It is samatha. In another way, we can watch the breath and see it is not us breathing. It is always changing, suffering, and out of control. Seeing the three characteristics like this is seeing with wisdom. Practicing in the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, we are knowing on both the levels of mindfulness and wisdom. So when clinging arises, no clinging has arisen. This is mindfulness. To see with wisdom, we see that this clinging that arose is just a lowly mental fabrication, not a person, not a being, not us, or anyone else. It comes up, remains for a bit, and then goes away, all in accordance with causation. If there is a cause for it to arise, it arises. If there is no cause anymore, it falls. This is seeing the three characteristics. This is knowing with wisdom. If we are practicing vipassana, when we watch the breath, mindfulness sees that the body is breathing and wisdom knows this body is not us. We cannot move to the level of vipassana without wisdom. The mind will just attach to an object like the abdomen rising and falling. Just focusing in that area is samatha. Watching the feet rise and move during walking meditation is samatha. We need to see the body movement as not us for it to be vipassana. I'm not saying stop practicing samatha. Keep doing it if you like, but when you come out of the deep concentration, please keep watching the mind. Luangpa Phut taught that this moment when the mind comes out of samadhi is a golden opportunity for meditators. The mind is pure and clean, like a table that has just been washed. It is clear and shining bright. When just the smallest bit of dust appears, it is easy to spot. At this point, it is easy to see even the most subtle phenomena when they come up.
Should I practice watching the body or the mind? Which do you think is appropriate for me?
Actually, once our practice really takes off, there ceases to be such a consideration. This is just a starting point so that mindfulness can arise. When it does, mindfulness will automatically switch back and forth between watching the body and mind. In your case, you are prone to overthinking. Such people, I usually suggest watching the mind move around. Then when the mind is restless, know it. When the mind is happy, unhappy, virtuous or not, just know the state that has arisen, again and again. If we practice this repetitively, the mind will remember these states vividly. And when one of the states it remembers comes up, mindfulness will then quickly arise on its own. This automatic mindfulness will sometimes know the body, sometimes know sensations, sometimes know mental phenomena. However, in order for this automatic mindfulness to arise, we have to set our intentions correctly. Just practice watching the mind and know what arises when it does. Don't force it or watch too intensely, as that creates stress. Just set the mind to watching frequently.
I have been trying to practice watching the mind, but within even 1 minute, there are so many things going on that I can't keep track of what to watch. There's worry, there's wanting, there's a me. There are so many defilements.
Just know you are confused in that moment. But seeing all these defilements means you are welcome to be one of my students. Those that say they've been meditating for 3 days and haven't seen any defilements have no idea how to practice correctly. Can you see that these defilements were not invited and come of their own accord? They are fabrications that come up on their own. Don't desire them to go away. Just know what arises. The wanting to get rid of them causes aversion, like anger, frustration, fear, stress, or hatred.
I can see I'm wanting to ask a question now.
Oh, good. When we want to ask and mindfulness sees it, the wanting will drop off. Then we will ask if it is appropriate and won't ask if it isn't.
Sometimes I'm angry and I lash out at others.
It is important to stay moral, to keep the moral precepts of not killing, stealing, cheating, lying, or intoxicating. Those who practice a lot of samatha don't need to be as concerned about this because they are usually well-mannered already. But if we are interested only in vipassana, we let the defilements arise, so we need to keep these precepts as a measure of control so that we don't hurt anyone. Once they understand how to practice correctly, many people get lazy. They think that they'll practice later on, when they have more time, or when they are older. This is a mistake. It is harder for older folks to practice. We should start at as young an age as possible. Keep watching and knowing the body and mind. It is an investment that will reap great benefits. In life, we often make investments hoping that we will develop through them and that in turn they will bring us happiness. We study for years to be able to provide for ourselves and create a happy life. When we work, we strive and develop further to gain status and an improved position in the interest of happiness. We hope a family will make us happy too. We are relying on the world to make us happy. But we are slave to everything we rely on. We are never free. If we practice the Dhamma, there is happiness that doesn't rely on anything. When we keep practicing, one day the mind will free itself and be met by a state called Nibbana. It is right here in front of our eyes. It is complete happiness. Once the mind has seen Nibbana, any burden, in or by this world, fades away. We no longer require the world. we cease our futile attempts at making the body and mind happy, and we move towards Nibbana. The khandhas are seen as nothing special at all. Perhaps now I will ask you a question for a change. What is that which we can call one? In truth, the mind is one. The Dhamma is one. All is one.